This is WNYC's Financial 411, our take on the economic news of the day. The Dow climbed 137 points today, more than 1%, to close at 10,407. The NASDAQ and the S&P also saw similar-sized gains. The Bronx saw the largest increase in its unemployment rate this year among the 23 counties making up the New York metropolitan area. U.S. Labor Department figures show a 13% unemployment rate for the Bronx in September. New Jersey's Hunterdon County had the lowest rate in the area at 7%. As Mayor Bloomberg tries to bridge next year's multi-billion dollar deficit, his budget director is asking most city agencies to cut another 4% from their budgets this year. The agencies are also tasked with slicing 8% from their budgets for the next fiscal year. Fire, police, and education departments were spared a bit, being asked to cut less. Earlier this month, in a unique PR move, Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner sat down with a handful of financial bloggers to talk about the White House's push to change the way the U.S. financial system is regulated. It was a two-hour meeting, cookies were served, and we're joined by two attendees. John Jansen, he runs the blog Across the Curve, which is focused on the bond markets, and Michael Pansner's book and blog is called Financial Armageddon. Michael and John, welcome to WNYC's Financial 411.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Michael, why do you think you were invited to this meeting?
That's a very good question. It came out of the blue. I think certainly there was an effort to reach out to financial bloggers, I guess, and among those who were there, they've been pretty visible and have made a number of comments about the policies that are being pursued, so perhaps that was the answer.
What was your big takeaway from the meeting, John?
My big takeaway was that they are far more concerned about the state of the economy, that there could be a second leg down, than they make public. I think one gentleman said that they were worried that aggregate demand would be too weak or too low for too long. And I don't think that in their public statements I've ever heard them express the degree of concern that they expressed in that meeting.
Michael, you came away with the same thing. When you blogged about this particular meeting, you said that Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner has said in public the economy is stabilized, but that he and others in the room with you were suggesting that things could still go wrong and it keeps them awake at night.
Yes, I mean, that was the disconnect for me, and certainly I think it was for others in the room. That plus also, I think there was definitely a sense that there is no real plan B, that if things don't turn around, for example, in the economy next year, that we didn't have any real sense that they told us what they're going to do next. And I think the other thing I thought was unsettling to me, at least, was that they seem, if anything, much more optimistic than many of the people in the room and perhaps many of the people in America about all of this getting resolved.
Did either of you feel you were being co-opted by the administration and used to spread the White House line?
I've been asked that question before. I did not think that, and I find the question kind of strange when I get it, because these people are, I mean, they're in the business of persuading people, right? They're in the business of making policy and persuading people that that their policy is the right policy, and I think I'm an intelligent person with a point of view. I think each of the other individuals in that room was the same, so why would anybody be fearful of that?
I guess the question comes out of some sense that maybe it goes to your head, maybe you start feeling a little more friendly toward Tim Geithner and what the Obama administration is putting out.
Well, I think one of our number actually wrote a piece along those lines suggesting that, you know, there's always a certain amount of empathy created when people meet face-to-face, and you can see that, you know, they're not just one-dimensional characters who sit off in Washington, that they're real people who are, for the most part, quite nice and quite intelligent. But I think, as the point John made, is that, you know, all of us kind of come from a fairly strong, opinionated perspective and can see through some of the fog that others can't. So I don't know if they would have achieved the goal of, quote, co-opting us.
What topic provoked the most debate between the bloggers and officials?
Well, one for me that seemed to get a couple of rouses was the whole too-big-to-fail issue, the question of, are we creating a system that is essentially just trying to bring us back to a more regulated version of the old thing, or are we using this crisis as an opportunity to reshape the industry? And I think many of the bloggers in the room felt that it should really be an opportunity to change things much for the better, but in fact may not turn out that way.
How will this influence some of the topics you choose to write about in upcoming blog posts?
Well, to be honest with you, it took me a few days of simmering over it. But what I do find was that some of the perspectives that I've had, which were that there's a bit of a disconnect between Main Street, Washington, and Wall Street, that there's a bit of a bubble in some respects in Washington about what's going on elsewhere, that hasn't changed. So I guess I feel reinvigorated in my antagonism, I suppose.
And John, what do you think?
I've always felt that they would not raise rates throughout, probably through all of next year. And hearing them speak the way they did makes me even more secure in that conviction. I would be shocked if they raise rates anytime before sometime in 2011.
John Jansen runs the blog Across the Curve, and Michael Pansner's blog is called Financial Armageddon. They were both guests at the Treasury Department a few weeks ago. Thanks for joining me on the Financial 411.